Let's rock and fucking roll, baby. Last week of October, the end of spooky season, aka Hayden's national holiday.
My favorite.
What are we gonna end it with, Hayden?
Nosferatu, unfortunately.
Unfortunately. Well, we're gonna end it with Nosferatu. Nosferatu is a German expressionist film made in 1922, silent film. About, I think, Kloxen. It's pretty short. It's one of the first expressionist films made by F.W. Murnau, who's gone on to make, I think, The Island of Dr. Caligari or something. I don't know. Somebody's going to hear this and crack my ass real quick.
Let me see.
You got it?
Yeah, go ahead and keep talking. I'll look it up.
Yeah. Well, you know, this is one of the first German expressionist films, one of the first big silent films, or at least one of the first big ones that we have recovered throughout the last 80, 90 years of world cinema. German expressionism is, to try to define it, it's basically, it was a social and art movement that came out of Germany before the First World War, when a lot of Germany wasn't having any more foreign films. The German government pretty much shut down imported foreign films. So there's a lot of incentive to make domestic films rather than have all these foreign films come in. Therefore, the German film movement grew for the first time ever. This is about, the Lumiere brothers kind of started film in the 1890s, 1880s. So it's about 30 years after when feature films are first starting to be made. And what else to really say about expressionism? When you see movies that are German expressionist, you know, they have very high contrast. They have these weird, obtuse angles. A lot of German expressionism is inspired by architecture and crowded places, Gothic architecture. I'm not really doing that good of a job of inspiring it, but if you've seen noir movies from like the 30s, the 40s, those detective movies, that's kind of what German expressionism looked like, because a lot of those movies took inspiration from it. And Nosferatu is one of the very first movies of that movement. It's also one of the very first vampire movies. And I'm talking a lot here. I'm going to let Hayden take it over here soon. But the reason we wanted to do this movie is because we started off spooky season with an all-time classic in The Shining. We then went to a movie that's recent, everybody kind of liked, but we really didn't like, with The Witch. We then went to a B-horror movie that turned out to be great with Killer Clowns of Outer Space. And now, to wrap it up, we go as far back as we can with Nosferatu. Hayden?
I mean, what do you want me to
take it away?
I mean, I can't really top that. You know what I mean?
No, talk shit, talk it up. What'd you think? I know none of your thoughts because we watched it separately.
All right, so me and Hunter were talking about this when we were watching it. I was like, I want to say this movie shit, because to me it's shit. It's absolute shit. But then I got to put myself in the position of a starving little German boy in 1920s. who doesn't even know what colored fucking television is. And in that sense, the movie's scary as fuck. I mean, honestly, to me, there were like some creepy spots.
Wait, one second. Hold on, sorry. Yeah, Mom, I'm doing the podcast right now.
Oh,
you're good. Okay, can you kind of restart that? Tristan probably have to cut that out, but...
I'm not cutting that out.
Well, for like a little boy born in the 20s, 1920s, this movie was scary as fuck. In that sense. I mean, even I thought there were some creepy parts. But once again, it's with the fucking, like, honestly, what started creeping me out the most was just the symphony.
Yes.
That fucking blaring ass noise the entire fucking time. Like, no matter the context.
That is the first thing I wanted to fucking talk about, was the music. The very first thing. Because I didn't like this movie, but the music was... I loved the music. I thought the music was fucking rad.
I mean, the music was cool, but it didn't go with anything that was going on the screen. Like, in the very beginning...
You think it was going with anything?
No, bro. Literally from the very start, the music was loud and blaring as fuck. Like, what do you mean? Even when this dude goes home and say bye to his wife, it's like playing music like the final fucking battle from Lord of the Rings. Like,
it added up. It was big and grandiose, but it was like gothic and kind of... tortured and tormented and like mystical, evil and just fucking creepy. I thought it added up.
Well, no, I'm not saying the movie didn't, the music didn't add that. I'm just saying that it was constant.
Oh, well, yeah.
Like,
well,
it was...
That's the...
I'm not saying that the music would start and stop. I'm saying that, like, it was constantly, like, the worst thing was happening the entire movie. Does that make sense? Like, it was like the music you would expect to play when, like, the main character dies. And it's just playing that when he's telling his wife bye. Or, like, when he goes and gets a job. Like, it was just loud as fuck, and it was more creepy than the movie itself.
No, yeah, I see. A lot of, I mean, this is kind of, as we all know, if you've seen any silent movies, you know they're silent, but they don't have dialogue, even though they have music. And basically, if you don't know how that works and why that doesn't add up, why a silent film would have music but not dialogue, when film was first created, you just had, film was a physical process, right? It's just a, you know, you have 35 millimeter, well, back then it was 16 millimeter prints. And it's a physical chemical thing. But how sound was made with film was you'd have a sound strip run along the side of the film edges that would play through a magnetic processor, essentially. And this all kind of came up in the 1930s, early 30s, mid 30s. But before that, it wasn't invented yet, essentially. And you would just have the film strip itself because people didn't invent it. But music was performed live with the picture. Music wasn't, because you couldn't burn a sound into the film itself. You had a symphony that would play at these picture houses that whenever the silent film would go up, you know, you'd have the orchestra start to play. So that's why when you see a lot of silent films, it's really big on orchestra, and the music in Nosferatu is the most stereotypical rule of that. It's like what you're saying. It's big, it's grandiose, it's a fucking lot. Every single thing seems over the top and dramatic. Kind of like a melodrama is what the movie feels like, but or the music does. But yeah.
So are you trying to say that you liked it?
Like, I fucking love the music.
Okay, well, what did you think about like the actual movie, though?
Oh, I didn't like it. I didn't like it. You know, Nosferatu is one of those ones that is on every film school kid's list that if you don't see it in class, you hear about it all the time and you study it. So you eventually kind of know about this movie. It's like for a film school kid, it's like a Jaws or like a Godfather that you don't have to really see that movie, but you know what it's about. And this is the first time I watched it. And I was really looking forward to it because I thought it was going to be good. And I've heard a lot about like Max Schenck, who is the actor that plays the vampire Nosferatu, about his acting and like it's really good and listen that. And I like the vampire, he's creepy, he did what he did. But I another thing I wanted to talk about was, did you find like the narrative, like the story itself, was hard to follow? Because that's why I think I didn't like it.
Oh bro, yes, because it's hard to like say a character's name without like actually introducing them. And you'll be like, wait, is this talking about the guy from the last slide or the next slide? Like, who the fuck are they talking about? Like, I mean, honestly, after I watched it, I just had to look up, like, the plot and read over the plot. Because I had no idea what the fuck was happening as I watched it, bro.
You didn't get what was going on at all?
Well, I mean, I get what was happening visually, but, like...
Well, yeah, but story-wise...
Yeah, story. Well, I mean, I get the story. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, I couldn't, like, process which slide each thing was talking about. So I was kind of, like, more so knew the story through what I read versus what I saw.
Right.
So, I mean.
That makes sense. It's, I mean, that's essentially what silent movies are, right? It's all visual stuff because you really don't get. Unless you watch like a bunch of Buster Keaton or Charlie Chaplin, like the really big silent movies, you don't really get what the fuck's going on. It's just kind of like a flip book. I mean, that's what a lot of those are modeled after, is like flip books and stuff. You don't really get it. I thought it was hard to follow after like the first 20 minutes when he's on like up to the point where he's riding the horses at the castle.
Yes. Kind of got what was going on. 20 minutes was fucking confusing.
after, well, it was like, for me, it was after the first 20 minutes. Then I didn't know what the fuck was happening. Then, like, they're at the castle, and they're saying it's at night, but it's clearly the daytime, which is just a technical limitation of the day, which I don't really care for. But at the same time, kind of threw me a little bit. And then, like, my brain is trying to connect the dots. Like, then they're on the ship, you know what I mean? And then, like, he's rising from the coffin. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
Yeah. And, like, I remember that happening. And I remember, like, he's separated from his wife or his girl or whatever. And then she's freaking out. She's getting visions. And I feel like it was Nosferatu talking to her. And then by the end of it, somebody fell out a window. And the vampire lived on? I don't know. Like, it's hard to describe.
Yeah, bro. It's just one of those things that you're just going to have to, like, be there and watch it to even understand. Like, I can't. That's a good way to put it. Like, I don't even know how to describe the plot of that movie to someone.
Right.
Like,
it's true. So your impression overall was meh. It wasn't that
good.
For
me, it's shit. For a little starving German boy, it's good. So therefore, yes, it's meh. That's a good way to put it. I like how it was a
little
yeah.
starving German boy.
Well, a little starving made in 20s. World War One.
I mean, do you like vampire movies? Like vampire horror movies?
I mean, I don't even know any other vampire horror movies. Like, why are you?
That's a good.
Are you trying to say that Twilight's a horror movie, bro?
No, I'm just trying. Little shit. I'm saying vampire horror movies.
Yeah, I don't.
It's
even
like
know
a.
Any.
It's like a common trope, but how many vampire horror movies actually are there? Because when you think like. Horror movie monsters, you think of like Frankenstein and Dracula. I would think Dracula is one of the first things people say.
Well, I mean,
but besides, like,
think about it, like Dracula is in like a bunch of kids cartoons, and so like it's you grow up like that's a popular name. Like, I mean, like Dracula's in Scooby-Doo, he's in Billy and Mandy, you know, he's mm-hmm. in all that shit. So like, I mean, that's probably why his name's so popular, but like you said, there definitely are not that many vampire movies.
Yeah. I think, especially with the early 2010s, I remember the early 2010s in terms of movies, like, excuse me. I remember like the early 2010s were a big time for vampire movies, probably because of the Twilight implosion, but like there was a lot of like dystopic vampire like disease, like 28 Days Later is a good one.
I guess I Am Legend's a vampire movie, right?
Yeah, I guess that's more 2000s. That's not early 2010s, but like Shaun of the Dead, I Am Legend.
Let's see, I'm trying to see what 28 other
Days Later.
There's, I don't know. Oh, brother, like, they're not. No, now that I think about it, there are quite a bit. Vampire movies are just not good. So I'm fucking
they're just
remember
not,
them.
Well, they're good. Like Shaun of the Dead, in my opinion, is one of the most perfect movies.
But that's a zombie like, it's one of my movie. Most,
it's a zombie movie, but it's not a scary. Oh, that's fuck. You're right.
Yeah.
I guess like zombies and vampires are very closely linked in cinema. No, they really are because
they're not, bro. What do you fucking mean?
They are too. They are too. They're both monsters that bite you. And
oh my fucking god, bro.
Take away.
Oh, gremlin is a fucking vampire then, dude. The fuck?
How's a gremlin a vampire? A gremlin's a little monster. It's not a zombie or a vampire.
Yeah, you're like, it's a little thing that bites people.
Okay, listen to me. That takes place in the form of a human or a former human, like the undead. Okay? Vampires and zombies are both undead. They both bite. They both take away lives from biting. They're both slow. I mean, typically slow and walk around with they're slow. They both... See? You can see the similarities.
Bro, no.
I don't know, man.
Bro, vampires are fast as fuck.
No, vampires are not. Oh, you know what it is a good vampire movie?
That's kind of weird. Wait. Yeah, that's kind of weird. Think about it, bro. Nosferatu is slow as fuck, and then in Twilight, they're fast as fuck. Like, how fun.
They're very shifty. Here's the thing is, like, zombies, when you think zombies, you think, like, horror movie, obviously. You know, when you think, I don't know, Frankenstein, you think, again, that's a horror movie. when you think of any other like horror monsters, you're relating monsters to horror, but vampires, you think horror, right? But like there's Twilight, there's Shaun of the Dead zombies. See, they're just so closely linked.
No, they're zombies and vampires not.
Okay. They are. But, vampires are like probably one of the most failed horror film monsters because you don't get a lot of good vampire horror movies. Kind of going back to a point we were trying to make earlier.
You don't really get any good vampire movies, period, though. Like, don't.
Can you think of any?
No, that's my point. And the only one that people are going to say is Twilight, and that's not fucking good.
Yeah, it's not a horror movie either.
Bro, have you gone back and watched Twilight?
Dude, it's bad. I remember. Oh my
fucking god, it is fucking.
It's really bad.
It is the epitome of cringe.
I was drunk at somebody's house, god. And we were all watching it and just laughing our asses off.
How could something so bad be so successful?
It got a bunch of 13, 14-year-old girls hyped as hell, loving Robert Pattinson. Who, by the way, dude, Robert Pattinson, he's a good fucking actor.
Have you seen The White House yet?
No. You, me, and Hunter need to see that if you're down.
If we can find it. Me and Hunter were looking, and the only place I could see that was playing it was AMC, and it's this weekend. And I won't. I'm coming up next weekend, so.
Shit. Yeah.
I mean, not even Alamo Drafthouse isn't even playing it. How is
What's
Alamo Drafthouse?
What's a limited release?
How is AMC playing it, though, but Alamo Drafthouse isn't?
It's just it's what the distributor, which is the distributor is A24, it's what they pick up at the theaters with certain theater chains. AMC is the biggest theater across America. And Alamo Drafthouse is technically a specialty movie house. Like, there's not even. Do you know Alamo Drafthouse just, like, this summer put up a location in LA? They just now did.
I mean, they have a. But I feel like that's kind of, like, makes it more exclusive, though. Like, I don't think that's a bad thing that, like, you're just now getting one.
No. I don't think so either. I'm just saying that, like, you know. The King will still be AMC. It used to be Regal.
Well, yeah, no, I'm sure Alamo Drafthouse is like I don't want to say it's not well known, but it's nowhere near as well known as AMC. Like you could tell, I could ask my mom if she knew what AMC was, and she would know what it was.
Yeah, in my opinion, Alamo Drafthouse is the best fucking movie theater, dude. There's no competition.
Where are they located? I know there's one in Springfield in Kansas City, and then one in, what is that, Omaha?
There's like four in Austin, Texas alone, because that's where it started. Omaha. And I think there's probably like five or six in Texas itself. Anyways, though, back to the movie. I think the one thing that I really liked about us picking to do this last is, obviously, because it's like one of the very first horror films, and it's nice to kind of look at what the start of horror movies were. And you kind of notice when you watch this that horror is a lot like comedy, where it has a very, very short shelf life. Like when you get scared and when you laugh are very similar, because once you get through it, you don't really revisit them a lot. And get like you can revisit, you can watch a movie, like a comedy or a horror movie, that either really made you laugh or really made you scared the first time. But then when you watch it again, you already know it's coming, so you don't really laugh or get scared. And the ones that are like the best of all time can repeatedly make you laugh and get you scared. You know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah.
I think that movie, maybe it's not, I don't think it's important to film history because it's necessarily getting you scared all the time. A lot of these horror movies that started in the 20s, when the genre was just becoming apparent, were only scary in the 20s, like before the Depression and stuff. But I think they're important for horror because you see the idea of, like, you take the most repressing, like, disgusting, macabre things that the culture thinks at that present time, and then you put it on a screen. And those are what usually makes really good horror movies. So, like, you know, there's a lot of, like, especially in the early 20th century, there's a lot of religious fear. And, you know, I mean, I'm not saying there's still the Salem witch trials in, like, the 1910s, 1920s. We have progressed a little bit further, but there's a lot of religious fear about disease and, you know, like witches and vampires, and Edgar Allan Poe wasn't that far off from being really big. So I think vampires are like a really clear indication of that. Whereas now in modern themes, like the two biggest horror movies I can think of, dude, were like Get Out and Us. And that looks a lot at like race and class, which are like things that, like, you know, racism and classism are things that culture thinks are really scary today. So it kind of just takes like, horror movies, you realize, whether it's Nosferatu in the 20s or Get Out in like 2017, 2016, are most successful horror movies are taking what the culture thinks is really repellent and putting it up on the screen.
I never really thought about that.
I think that's kind of like, if you look at all the, not necessarily our favorites, but I'm just like, if you looked at IMDb or like Letterboxd, like the most successful ones of all time just by the general public, you know, I don't know, we could pick any really. They're all kind of like thinly veiled constructions of that. Like Clockwork Orange, you have a lot of like women's liberation movements going around in the 60s and the 70s, and a lot of like progressivism starting after Kennedy got shot and we went into Nixon. And then Clockwork Orange is all about like this guy obsessed with media, and he, like, you know, within the first 30 minutes he rapes a married woman, goes into her house, rapes her while singing in the Rain. And then he's, have you seen Clockwork?
I've watched like the first 10 minutes and then I got bored.
Dude, it's fucking demented. It's almost masochistic. Basically, I know you won't care, I'm not going to tell you the ending, but they punish him whenever they catch him by making him, like, you know, pulling his eyes apart and making him watch all these really fast flashes of media, and, like, tempting him by, like, having, like, a really attractive naked woman come to him, and, like, he wants to, like, lurch for her, but, like, he gets beaten down and, like, gets the shit knocked out of him while she, like, watches. It's this very, like, nasty kind of, almost real life, even though it takes place in the future. It's just, it's a really closely associated to real life and kind of things that the modern politics were talking about at the time of its release, which I think was like in 73. But no, I mean, that's just, those are just some of the ideas that were floating around my head. That's why I like horror so much, is that it takes a lot of like what the culture is deeming repellent at the time and it puts it up. That's why it's hard to watch.
So what do you think the next big genre is going to be?
Fuck, man. Anything besides comic book shit is good for me. I'm so fucking tired of all this shit.
What? Wait, what comic book horror are you talking about, though?
Well, not comic book horror. I mean, you said what's the next big genre, and, like, what I meant was, like...
Oh, I mean,
look,
like,
at the 20...
I mean, like, the new genre within horror movies, because you were talking about how they reflected, like, modern, like, what a group of people were going through at a certain period of time. So I'm saying, like, so what do you think the next big genre is going to be? Like, is it going to be, you get what I'm saying.
Something, I think technological horror, because, like, Black Mirror, you see stuff like that popping up recently, especially with the Trump administration. So, like, for instance, something we've studied at San Francisco State is torture porn. Was really big from 2004 to 2010, which was right after the war on terror and 9/11. Which, if you think about it, torture porn, the war on terror, a lot of things about, like, I mean, we've seen Zero Dark Thirty a lot. We've seen, not Zero Dark Thirty, the other one that Catherine Bigelow directed about the bombs, The Hurt Locker. Oh, you know, a lot of, like, movies about 9/11. A big controversy around, 9/11, like John would always tell us all the time, is like whether you can torture terrorists or like suspected terrorists. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's where torture porn came out of, was because it's all about torturing, you know? And we kind of examine an academic setting about how that's really closely related. I think with the Trump administration, it's just going to be all about technological horror, and Black Mirror starting that off. and just VR and Twitter, social media, yeah, Twitter equivalents.
Yeah, that's probably where we're going. I mean, they've started releasing, like, all the movies about, like, adding people on Facebook and, you know, messaging Unfriended. People on Twitter and shit, like, all those movies. Like, yeah, I think that's where
Do you like going. Movies like that?
Not yet. I mean, but like you said earlier, like, if that's the next genre, like, there's bound to be one that I'm gonna like, right? I mean, like, I can find one from each kind of time period that you said and say, like, hey, this is my favorite from that one.
Right. And, like, it's not a movie, but you like, not every episode, but we've seen some Black Mirror episodes where we're like, dude, that's fucking freaky.
Yeah, Black Mirror. Oh, and there's another one. What was the other one that was like Black... Oh, it was something Death and Robots or some dumbass shit. Did you ever watch that?
Was it Love and Robots?
Yeah, Love...
I think I know what you're talking about, but I haven't seen it.
It's like each episode's animated, or it's like drawn, or it's live action. Yeah, it was called Love, Death, and Robots. That was also like a sort of like technological weird shit show.
Yeah. I like that genre a lot. I think it's a very smart genre, because when it works, it's really smartly laid out to you, like Black Mirror episodes. Like, you could see that happening in real life, and that's why it's really fucking frightening, you know?
Yeah, the Black Mirror episodes are really good. The recent ones haven't been so good. It's starting to, like, season lose its four touch. And the movie. Like, I don't know how you go from making, like, I really like the first season, but I like the second season even more. So I don't know how you go from, like, progressively getting better and then just fucking plateauing. Like, they just... Yeah.
I think the four season was really bad. I think the first three seasons are great, and I haven't watched that interactive movie. Well, the third season's just a movie,
right?
No, the third season's... Oh, wait. The movie is its own thing. It's not a season whatsoever.
Wait, I thought that there was only two seasons of Black Mirror, and then the movie.
No, dude. There's a third one. Hold the up. Third season you need to watch. You would love the third season.
I feel like I've seen them all. Let me keep talking. I'm going to figure this out now.
This is as good time as ever to talk about our drink. The most disgusting liquor on the fucking planet. Why we decided to drink this, I know, but... I hate black licorice with all my heart.
Yeah.
I hate this shit.
It's kind of gross tasting, I'm not going to lie.
Have you drank... this is the first time I've drank this.
No, I've drank it before. It, it's just kind of... It's like I said about the, what's it? The fucking Fireball. I was saying that, like, it's... Like, it just tastes like... my parents' pantry.
You're like 17.
Yeah, like, no, I never seek it or anything. So yeah. It's like, yeah. I mean, it's not bad, but it's fucking not good, for sure. That's for sure.
We're drinking Jägermeister, by the way, because we hate our lives, and it's German, so it's a double little effect on us. black licorice liquor, which... Only if you were German could you make up something like black licorice liquor.
Fucking I mean, I like black gross. Licorice.
Oh, I hate black licorice.
Why?
It just is not good. I remember
I don't even know why. Yes, I know. I get why someone can think it's shit.
You know, it's like olives. Like, you either fucking love olives or you do not like olives.
Well, it tastes like medicinal, which is why I like it. I feel like a little medicine man when I eat black licorice.
I like regular licorice. It's just this...
No, see, regular licorice is black licorice. All right, get your licorice facts straight.
But Twizzlers aren't as fucking bitter as that black licorice shit your grandma gives you when you're a kid. I have so many bad memories of eating this shit on a school bus and just wanting to vomit. What do you even cut this stuff with? Like, what do you mix Jägermeister with?
I mean, Red Bull. That's probably a popular one.
I can't do. Can you do vodka Red Bull?
I've never tried it. I only get like rum and Coke.
Yeah, I get my go to is Jack and Coke. So I feel you. I can't. Yeah, that and Long Island iced teas. Like when we were at
Parlor. Yes, Long Island iced teas.
You crazy? Fucking. You slam that Long Island iced tea so quick. I remember I was looking away talking to Marissa for like a minute, and I looked back, and you already done it. You were just staring at me, smiling, and I was like, hello?
Well, like, I don't know why when I get something like that, I think that all alcohol tastes like shit. Like, I'm going to be real with you.
Of course, yeah.
With the exception of, like, certain beers and stuff. But, you just get to the point where, like, it tastes like shit. I just want to be done. That's why I chug it, bro. That's why I drink it so fast. It's because I just want to get that fucking... Because you wouldn't drink.
If getting drunk wasn't a thing, would you even drink?
Oh, fuck no. Wait, no one would ever drink liquor if it didn't make them drunk. No one would. That's the whole reason why people drink it.
Yeah. I mean, nobody, you know, you remember the first time you drank a beer, like, your dad, like, let you take a sip of his beer, and it just tasted like fucking piss? Oh, my, I can remember that so vividly.
Yeah, it's like, you little bastard, you tricked me. You're a terrible father.
So, Hayden.
Yes.
Hayden.
Yes.
I know that you think this, so I'm just going to say it. Why do you think horror movies, outside of every other genre in movies, is the most important genre?
Bro, I don't have a fucking answer for that. What the fuck, the fuck do you mean I know? That's a big-ass question that a little man can't solve.
No, but would you agree that the horror genre is the most important genre? Like, you don't have to explain it, but would you agree with that?
Nah, I don't agree. Adventure movies. Adventure movies are the most important movies.
Fucking adventure movies.
Yeah, like, think about it. Like, Indiana Jones, Stand By Me, The Goonies, all of those, bro. Like, little...
You think adventure movies are the most important?
Fuck yeah, bro. Did you not grow up on adventure? That's, like, what gives little kids drive to do shit, bro. Adventure's important as fuck. Well, fuck, why the fuck do you think you went outside and play with your friends? Because you fucking saw something in a movie and you wanted to go live it outside. Adventure movies are important as fuck, and you better show your kids a lot of them, or you're gonna have some fucking bad consequences.
I hate Jägermeister,
bro. Do you not have like do you not agree with that?
I think, no, I don't agree with that at all. What the fuck? I think that you're going to give me so... I don't want to tell you what I'm about to say, because you're going to give me so much fucking shit and be such an ass. I know you're going to be so mean to me to what I'm about to say. Like when you were mean to me on my Finsta post when I posted my cool new little outfit.
Your sick fit with your tongue hanging out. Yeah.
You love me.
That was fucking real cool, bro. I'm fucking jealous.
You know I'm really cool. I know you're jealous of my swag. My Finsta is at Heysoob. No, but back to the genre question. My Finsta is John Travolta lover.
That was supposed to be a secret, bro.
Now every person that listens to this podcast is going to know. So all three people.
Yeah, all three people. Fuck. It wasn't just me.
It's us that listens to it, Tristan, and our moms. So I guess it's five. So we're doing good. No, I think we're at a weird time with just art stuff in general, where everybody's like, there shouldn't be any genres. Let's break it all down and just make a fucking hodgepodge of... No, I think that's bullshit. I think genres... And I've said this before, I'm sure. There's also the Jaeger talking a little bit. But I think genres are the coolest and the best thing that we've ever did for movies and art in general, because genres are things that you and me, we don't see eye to eye on movies. We like don't have the same favorite movies. We were raised really differently with movies. We both love movies, and like that was a big part of our lives. But besides that, that's about it, because we have really different taste. But we can go to like a Alamo Drafthouse and pick out the emotional experience. Like if we want to go laugh, we're going to go watch comedy, right? If we want to go get scared and just talk and shoot the shit, we're going to watch a horror movie. If we want to watch a really, if we just want to feel good because we've had like a shitty time, we'll probably watch an adventure movie or an action movie, something mindless. And I think that's the coolest thing. I think that's so great. That's what got me so fucking excited about movies when I was a little kid, and like what still gets me really excited today. You can pick whatever, you can pick your ride, essentially.
Man, that's some poetic shit right there, boy.
Thanks, brother. Knew you'd be a fan. This shit ain't free either.
I mean, genres are important, man. Yeah.
Thanks for the addition of that conversation, yeah. Jackass. All right. I think, because I'm just doing this because I'm mostly curious, but since it is the end of spooky season, I can't imagine. I'm kind of out of fucking horror movies for the rest of this podcast. I don't want to do any for a while because we've done four back to back to back. Can you give me your top five favorite horror movies of all time? You don't have to put them in order, but
I'd have to think about it. Go through yours. You put me on the spot.
Okay. I'll say, not in any order. Not in any order. I'm going to say The Shining. You're about to not like what I'm going to say, too, by the way. The Shining. It Comes at Night. Hereditary.
I don't want to talk about it. We've already shit on enough movies.
Killer Clowns from Outer Space, because fuck yes. And got to think of the fifth one. It's got to be something from like the 90s. Because I really liked 90s horror movies. I think they're underrated.
I found a couple of mine if you want me to go, since we've been fucking stalling now. You go. I'm going with Alien.
Oh, shit. Alien's good.
I'm going to do Jaws. Let's see. Jaws. Halloween. Which is shit, but it's good because it's shit.
It's good shit.
I liked It, the first one.
Dude, you and our friend group, whenever you're hyper, you are Richie Tozier. 100%. You act just like him.
Which fucker? Which one of the little shit does that?
The one with the glasses. Oh. They go beep beep Richie.
Damn.
Beep, that is Richie. So you, though.
I like Silence of the Lambs. That's going to be my last one.
God damn it, you asshole. You pick good ones. I'm over here saying fucking Killer Clowns from Outer Space. What do I like in horror?
Well, I think you just don't like horror, bro.
I didn't like horror up until college.
You could count, like, maybe Green Room.
Well, that's, you know, so funny.
We already talked about that. I don't think that's horror, but
I think it is, but I don't know. Yeah. Nightmare on Elm Street's pretty fucking good. I think it's a solid one.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say it's one of my favorites. No, it's not my top five, but it's fucking good. It's got to be something by John Carpenter, because I fucking love John Carpenter. He's one of my favorite. Top 10 directors, easy. I love John Carpenter.
But besides Halloween. All the shitty Texas Chainsaw Massacres, all the shitty ones.
Oh my God, I remember I watched that. Me and my friend, and we had two girls over, and we were all like laying in my basement watching that. We had to turn it off because it's just so fucking gross. I don't like horror movies like Saw and Texas Chainsaw Massacre. That shit's disgusting.
Yeah, it's pretty gross.
I will say I like Clockwork Orange. That's got to be up there.
Well, you didn't say They Live. You like They Live, don't you?
Is They Live a horror movie, though?
I mean, there's fucking aliens that look like fucking melted skeleton people, so...
If They Live is counts, then yeah, that's probably top three horror movies all time. But I that's like a comedy,
Christine
though.
Christine is good, too. What's good? Christine, it's the car that, like, wants to kill someone. I forget who wants. It's a car that goes and kills people. You haven't seen that?
It's called... No, that sounds familiar.
It's by John Carpenter. And there's a vampire movie by John Carpenter called Vampires that no one knows about. But yeah.
Oh, I remember seeing the cover to that movie in Blockbusters.
To Vampires or Christine?
Christine. I remember seeing the cover of that movie all the time.
Yeah. That movie's pretty popular. And it's good. Let's see. He's responsible for, to be clear, we're talking about John Carpenter. All the Halloweens, including the shitty ones.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Man, I didn't realize he had so many movies.
To kind of wrap this up here, we kind of set our top five favorite films. We see where horror movies are going. Would you say that last question kind of for the episode this week? Spooky season's done. We said so much shit about horror, and obviously you kind of see where we both stand with it. Do you see horror making a resurgence as we are about to enter a new decade? Do you think it's going to be like one of the bigger like genres in a film? Or do you think it's going to be where it's going right now?
See, horror is weird when it comes to that because I feel like it's... There was a point like when we were in maybe like freshman year of high school where like there would be a new horror movie like every month.
Yeah.
And they were like, shit. Like, there's a bunch of people I don't remember, like, Bye Bye Man. That was fucking shit. the fucking...
We should have done that for an episode.
Oh, we should have. Like, the one where the... I think it was called The Gallows or, like, The Hangman. It was this dude.
Yes. That, yes, yeah, we watched like that together.
Yeah, that movie was fucking ass, too. Like,
when we were becoming like friends, we watched it together. Yeah.
There's a bunch of those that are just absolute shit. But there were so many of them. And now I feel like... What's happening is horror movies are starting to slow down because we're stuck in this area right now where there really is only like two big horror, well, two or three if you want to count. I don't remember where I was going with this. But like, there's the Conjuring universe, that's a huge one right now.
Mm-hmm.
And then mm-hmm. It and Sinister. Or Sinister? Insidious, sorry. Insidious. Those three universes are like the dominating the market, and it's just like we're starting to see like little groups start poking through and making horror movies again. So I think it's just gonna like, I think like you said, yeah, we're gonna get like a very like yep, I forgot what I was gonna fucking say. Fuck.
Jägermeister.
Oh,
yeah.
What the fuck I was thinking.
We're gonna have a resurgence.
Yeah, because all these little companies are starting to like shoot up and make horror movies now.
Right.
So it's gonna be like the 2012 boom. I think it's just gonna like go away slowly, like it is right now, and then it's gonna come back and then go away and come back. I think it's gonna be on and off. And I think we're about to hit like the come up where people are making more and more horror movies. Since a lot of them are winning awards now. I think that's one thing people notice is like there's actually like a reward for making a good horror movie. Like they're actually starting to win awards and shit. So people
like
are gonna start taking
horror movies. Yeah.
Yeah, like Us and Get Out and all those. So like Yeah, I think that we're going to see a lot of good horror movies coming up here soon.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to it. I think it's going to be really good time, especially going to the 2020s. I think just overall we're going to have a resurgence in film, and it's going to be cool to see, like, the shape it takes. And to be within it, it's going to be a lot of fun.
Yep.
Well, Hayden, I think we're done with spooky season, baby. We finally did it.
We can move on to turkey season. We can only watch movies with chickens in them. Watch Chicken Run. I want to watch Chicken Run.
Chicken Run, possible episode 9, Chicken Run?
Yeah, I want to do Chicken Run. I haven't seen that movie in a long time.
All right. Shit. That's the end of Broovies episode 8, I believe. I may be wrong. Shit, that sucks.
We've done a lot.
We're almost halfway through.
Almost. Fuck, dude. Well, no, we're definitely over halfway.
Well, no, right? We're doing 17. We're doing 17, so we're like around halfway.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's halfway there.
Halfway there is wild. Anyways, I'm Blake Miller. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram @_BlakeAMiller, and you can look at all my work at www.ablakeamillerfilm.com.
And I'm Hayden Suer, and you can find me at Was Hayden on Twitter and HeySub on Instagram.
And that is it for Broovies episode 8, Nosferatu. We will see you next month in November, at the very first Friday of November, for a completely new slate of movies. Maybe some Chicken Run. We'll just have to see. We'll see you guys next time.
All right, see you guys.
See ya.